Would you please be seated? John was thought to be the last of the gospel writers. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had preceded him, and in their passages had told much of the Christmas story that's familiar to us in school nativity plays and so on. I guess when John came to his turn, he thought, well, there's nothing new to be said there. Instead of the stories of individuals, I'm going to tell the great cosmic story. And so he did in beautiful poetry. But of course, there's still the stories of individuals. So many. It's what draws us in. Stories of people. People that maybe we can relate to. People whose hopes and fears are understandable to us. So one of the things I like to do at Christmas is play with some of those stories and see if I can think of a few of my own that fit within that greater, that fantastic and most wonderful of stories. So here's the story of one character in the Christmas story, told with more than a little artistic license. But then again, you never know. This is the carpenter's story. I'm not religious, you understand. Never had much in the way of education. But I've lived a bit and I've travelled a lot and I've seen a thing or two. And you learn, you know. You do learn. Born in Samaria, same year that King Herod became king. Herod the Great, he was styled. He was a bit of a mixed bag. Made the temple into one of the wonders of the world. And when there was a famine, he went and sold the crown jewels so that he could feed the poor. What a man. But there was another side, and that side was much darker. He hated us Samaritans. Many of his people did. And he quickly destroyed any threat to his power, real or imagined. I was a carpenter, still am, a journeyman, work anywhere, and I've travelled some places, you'd be amazed. My tools, they're my luggage. And there was this time. I had some work in Bethlehem, fixing up an inn. They wouldn't let the likes of me, a Samaritan, stay in their rooms. Couldn't afford it anyhow. So, like many others, I took what I could get, slept in one of the outbuildings. That's where I met Joseph, another carpenter. So we had a lot in common. There with his family. Well, you know all about that, of course, don't you? Shared some meals together, swapped a few stories. We got on all right. Maybe it's because they were poor, not wealthy enough to afford the prejudice against the Samaritans their better countrymen practiced. And as always, when it happens, it really meant something to me to be accepted as I am. Well, this time they've been away for the day, up to Jerusalem to give thanks for the birth of their son in the temple as their laws required. And they got back a bit late, travelling roads in the dark. Shouldn't do that, I said. There's robbers and all sorts out at night. And you with a baby and a wife to care for. Clearly, they'd no real experience of travelling. The journey down from Nazareth was the furthest either of them had ever been in their lives. They just didn't know what they were up to, really. But Joseph seemed to pay no attention. He was agitated. And Mary, sure, she seemed close to tears. He asked if he could trust me. Of course, I said. No, this really matters. Can you trust me? Yes, I replied. Yeah, you can trust me. What do you need? He took me to the stable where they'd been staying. And there on the floor, he unwrapped the small bundle that was all their luggage. A few essential tools, some rags for clothes, and three small caskets. Not the type a provincial carpenter like he or I would make. Rough hewn with simple leather hinges. These were unlike anything the likes of me would ever get to touch. Skillfully crafted in silver with the most delicate of decorations. Worth a fortune in themselves, but that was nothing to what was inside them, to what he showed me. Gold and precious spices. These are going to bring our death, Joseph said. I thought he meant he'd stolen them. I nearly ran. I didn't need this kind of trouble. The legal system wasn't exactly famous for being kind to us Samaritans, if you know what I mean. but he put his hand on my arm and held me there. He told me the gifts were some of the strangers who had visited after the child was born. The gifts belonged to the child, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was who these people had visited on their way to give their gifts. Yeah, you guessed it. Herod. Herod got wind of gifts fit for a king. He got wind of the gifts, but he hadn't got the gifts. That meant somebody else had, and that meant there was a threat to his crown. Even now, we were told, soldiers are marching to Bethlehem. Their orders to kill every child in the town they could find under a certain age. Joseph was going to have to take his family and flee. And he had to go now, and he had to ask me to lead them, because they had no idea where to go or how to get there. I was stunned. Only a moment, but I was stunned. Just who was this child that strangers will bring gifts fit for a king? Just who was this child that another king would send out his army to destroy him? I turned and looked at him in his mother's arms. Beautiful, but then he was a baby, so why wouldn't he be? Innocent, but, well, then all babies are. Full of hope. Just when do we lose that, eh? And I resolved that I would do anything in my power to save him. So I picked up my tools. I could earn a living with those anywhere. And within a few minutes, we were on the road. Routes north weren't safe. So there was only one way to go. South and then west towards Egypt. Here was irony, wasn't it? Over 1,000 years ago, Moses had led his people from oppression to Egypt to freedom in the promised land. And here I was, leading a small group of those very same people back. Because their promised land only promised death to this little child who received the gifts of a king. I left them in a village near the Nile Delta. On the trade route, so plenty of work for Joseph and local people who don't ask too many questions. My work took me back there occasionally over the next few years. Well, it's a bit of an excuse, to be honest. There weren't many who accepted a Samaritan as a friend, and few of those were Jews. We got on, and I saw the child grow into a boy. And then one visit, well, they weren't there anymore. Back to their homeland, I was told. The boy needed a proper future. The Christmas story involves lots of people. People of all backgrounds, people of all types, and all of them play their part. And all of them are changed through the story. And the wonderful thing about this story, it's a story that is not yet finished. And the story continues to draw new characters in. And the story invites them to be changed in its telling. The story continues through the life of Jesus, as we're going to be exploring in our church services over the next few months. The story continues through the life of Jesus, and the story continues after Jesus. And the story continues to invite you and to invite me to become part of this Christmas story. Amen.